Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome to Word Explosion with Reverend Simon Afofo, head pastor of Grace Hope Chapel. Do you need direction in life? Are you yearning for a closer walk with God? Are you desiring to be fruitful? The Word of God provides the answers. Feast on God's Word and let the grace of God envelop you as you listen to this life-changing message. Be blessed. Reaching out to the world with love, treating Christians forever.
Together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar and upon the wood. 10. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad. And do not do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. 14. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. Let's read two verses for hallelujah. Powerful scriptures here. Everybody, let's read. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven, 16, and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this, I have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Okay. 17, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. May the Lord add his blessing to his word, and the church will shout a big amen. Amen. Kindly take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are still trying to learn how to walk in the footsteps of Father Abraham, the father of faith, the father of all of us. As we speak today, there's war in Palestine and Israel, fighting over land, and both nations, both regions trace their ancestorship to Father Abraham. Ladies and gentlemen, we have learned that this, our Christian walk, is a walk of faith from beginning to the end. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. We are not recommended even by our prayer. We are not recommended by our singing. The only thing that God recommends us is faith. The Bible says the only thing that counts is faith that expresses itself through love. So faith is very important throughout our walk with God. And this is the man of faith and the man we learn from as we try to walk the walk of faith. But ladies and gentlemen, I think his greatest test came when God commanded him to sacrifice his only beloved son to him. And I like the way verse 1 takes his time. God wanted Abraham to be sure that I am not second guessing, and I'm not asking you to bring any of your servants. Neither should you even go and bring Ishmael back to sacrifice for me. I'm specific. I know what I want. Bring, verse 2 says, bring me your son, your only son, the one you love. Abraham, I know what I want from you, and that's what I'm asking for. What a test. Ladies and gentlemen, this test is almost nonsensical, illogical to the human mind. I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes when we walk with God, this whole world becomes so confusing. How on earth will you let me wait for 25 years to have a son? And even when I gave birth to the son, you didn't tell me to sacrifice him. You wait till the boy is weaned. 13, 14, 15. At this stage, every guy is fun to be. Every son is fun to be. Even at this stage, when you go to Accra, how does it feel when Marvel starts saying, Papa, Daddy, you are welcome, buy me this. And the guy grows to about 13, 14, 15. And it's so much fun to be with. This is your earth. This is what you've been waiting for 25 years. Another 13 years I've added to it. Around 35 years of waiting for a boy to be able to speak, to communicate, leave your vision or your ministry or your whatever you are doing, leave it as an inheritance for yourself to continue. And at this point, God comes in and says, I want that boy back. Oh Lord, have mercy. How many of us sometimes walk with God and we just don't get God? And it doesn't make sense along the line. Hear me. I have noticed that if you are too wise in your own understanding, you cannot walk with God. Can I repeat that one? I have observed that in this our walk with God, if you are too smart and you think you know your way around in life too much, and you think you are too wise in your own understanding, you can never walk with God. Because some of the steps God is going to ask you to take, it will make you may look like foolish in the eyes of men. Doesn't even make sense any longer. And yet the man of faith decides to obey. And hear me, what is even worse is the fact that, Lord, if you want this boy as a sacrifice, please, let me sacrifice him here and now, kaput, and let's end the matter. But God says, pick the boy up and walk for days to a certain mountain and there sacrifice the boy. What a journey. I believe that this is the longest journey Abraham would ever undertake on earth. Walking with a boy. And you know that these are the very last hours of me talking to my son. Oh God. Can you imagine the emotional trauma those 3 days? Can you imagine the confusion? Can you imagine his heart pumping? I remember many years ago, not too long ago, God asked me to sacrifice something that was dear to my heart. Listen, I couldn't drive through that place in Kumasi. Anytime I got there, my heart was beating pop, pop, pop. This was not even my son. So I can imagine this journey. It was going to be the longest journey of Abraham's life. And what shocks me, can you imagine the questions? Now at the point, Isaac asked, Daddy, here is the wood, here is the fire, everything is ready. Where is the sacrifice? The emotional trauma. How do you handle such a thing? The God that sometimes you can't fully comprehend. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts above your thoughts. Strange sometimes to walk with God. And yet he knows what he's doing. Now after 3 days, watch this verse 4. After 3 days of this emotional trauma, Bible says, Abraham lifts his eyes looking for the mountain that God wants him to sacrifice. And the Bible says the place was still afar off. You do, baby. How many of you sometimes look at your life? What is going on in your life and your dream? Where you want to get to? And you see that you are far, it's far away from you. It's like it's never going to happen. It's like, hey, when will I ever get there? It looks so far. I don't know how many more days he walked anyway. Bible doesn't tell us. But it wasn't a simple journey. Hear me. Why does God do this? Why didn't God let him kill the boy immediately? Or sacrifice him? And say, walk for days. May I suggest to you, our God is not, our walk with God is not only a walk of faith, but it's also a walk of sacrifice. Can I say that again? It's a walk of what? And all the way, God wants us to walk a walk of sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present yourself as a living sacrifice. Every day of the journey, God is asking for your sacrifice. Sacrifice of your time, sacrifice of your mind, sacrifice of your emotions, sacrifice of your energy, sacrifice of your money, sacrifice of your ideas. It's a walk of sacrifice. And hear me, the whole Christianity is founded upon sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. What makes Christianity stand out is the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And every one of us, one way or the other, must live a life of complete sacrifice. And you must walk a walk of sacrifice. In Psalm 50 verse 4, the Bible says, gather to me my sins, those who have a covenant with me by sacrifice. Hear me. To establish a covenant, to have a special covenant with God, a special relationship, it comes by sacrifice. Those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Sacrifice is what causes us to enter into covenant with God. And so when the Lord was telling Abraham, go, he was saying, this thing is a work of sacrifice. Become a living sacrifice. Every day of your life, you must be prepared to give a sacrifice to the Lord. Our life does not belong to us anymore. It belongs to the Lord. And when we sacrifice, sometimes it looks like, I know people are here today who have made sacrifices upon sacrifices. And up to now, sometimes you wonder, will it ever happen? Will I ever have the breakthrough? All these sacrifices, what does it mean? And it's like, you have a long way still to go. And it's like, what is it going to ever happen? May I tell you, there's something called the Mount of the Lord. And in verse 14, he said, on the Mount of the Lord, it will be provided. And I speak to somebody here at the sound of my voice. One of these days, you will get to the Mount of the Lord. You will get to the apex, and in that place, there will be divine provision for you. Everything that you are looking for, you will get there by the grace of God, and it shall be provided. Get ready to get to your Mount of the Lord. Hallelujah. You will get there by the grace of the Lord. This morning, I feel like I can't shut up. I'm so excited about this testimony that I can't just shut up about it. I want to share it because it's exciting. It tells me, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, if you are in this house and God is calling you to service and to sacrifice, I want to encourage you, do it with all your heart, do it with all your strength, and there's something called the fullness of time. When that time is up, on the Mount of the Lord, it will be provided as it is said, even till this day. It's not only in Abraham's time, but even today, There's a place called the Mount of the Lord. And when you get to that place, I see provision coming to you. I see your blessing coming to you. I see everything changing in your life. May you get to your mount in the name of Jesus. The man in this house who has served me longest more than anybody in this house. 25 years. 30 years. Almost. I was a teenager. I was around 20 years. 29. 30. 19 to 20 years thereabout when I started the Students' Fellowship. This young man, older than me, but walked in, ever since that time has served, and every Sunday, up to last Sunday, he was here parking cars. He works, serves to no man's business. You can't even... Nobody visits him. Nobody knows his house. But he's just serving. He's just sacrificing. He's up to it. I remember my father-in-law's funeral. When I got to Accra, brothers was there parking cars. Me that my father-in-law is dead, the time I got there, he was already there parking cars. Put on his suit anytime I have to go and preach somewhere. He said, I can't drive the bishop without putting on suit. Over 30 years serving me. 5 years ago, his uncle called me and said, are you the Osofo? I said, yes. Are you Ebenezer's Osofo? I said, yes. He said, Osofo, why? I've shared this testimony before. Osofo, why? I said, why? I said, I said, well, do a chia chung. And I said, yes, I know. Now then, and I don't worry. Now then. And then life, they say, I remember tears was coming in my eyes. I said, Papa, the God that I serve, he will do it. I put the phone off. I began to talk to God. I said, this grace works, and it must work for that man also. You can't serve under grace, and God will despise you. I said, God, it's up to you. You've got to do something. Within the space of 1 year, he meets a lady, a fine lady, a nurse. The nurse said, oh, no, I'm not worried, no. No matter what anybody says, I love this man, I'll marry him. So excited, I went to the wedding looking for the uncle. We looking to say, uncle, I told you God would do it. His wedding was beautiful. And I thought that was all. Hear me. The man didn't change even after marriage. Older than me, yet kept serving. After marriage, he was at it. Up to last Sunday, he was parking here. That's how passionate he is about serving. So up to the point of our service. And Sunday after church, I was in my office. He walks there with his wife in the afternoon and said, Reverend, I have news for you. I said, what's the news? He said, well, there are 10 nurses that are being looked for in the whole of Ghana to go and work in the UK. My wife has been selected as one of the 10 nurses. And I said, are you joking? He said, Papa, it's true. He said, but they have been calling us that we are keeping too long in Ghana. So this Wednesday, we should go for our visa. Thursday, we should fly. I said, what are you talking about? He said, yes. I said, so can't you even come to church for us to testify? I said, I'm sorry. I have to move by Thursday, me and my wife. Trust me, I still thought it was a joke. In fact, trust me, I thought it was a scam. So I was calling him to say, be careful of this thing, oh. Oh, yes, sure, Pastor, brother and Afro. Lo and behold, Thursday evening, 9 o'clock, we were there when we had the call. This was Papa strike on the line. Papa, and my wife heard the airport sirens blowing. And we said, this thing is true. And he said, I'm at the airport. In 45 minutes time, me and my wife, we are flying to UK. Ah, kabaya, baya, 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 baya. I still thought that this thing, yeah. Charlie, I want to go to Kakrana, eh, who Kakrana?
Ah, Thursday morning, I was there. I received a text message. This is Stryker and his wife in the UK. Bishop, we are reporting. We have landed safely. We are in the hotel. From here, they are taking us to our apartment. Paid for. Listen, they didn't pay for ticket. They didn't pay for visa. They didn't. You don't have to ask for N9 number. Their N9 number is ready for them for collection. They have a job already in the United Kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, we serve a living God. And there's something called the Mount of the Lord. Hear me. Hear me. Every sacrifice that you make is just a process. And one of these days, I see you hitting the Mount of the Lord. And the Bible says, on the Mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. I speak into your life. Your sacrifice will not be in vain. Your service will not be in vain. One of these days, you are getting into the presence of the Lord. You are getting into the Mount of God. And there, every provision. Listen, what people struggle for 20 years, you will get it within 24 hours. Somebody put your hands together and give a shout. And I'm missing where the Obedidom crown fanho. Missing where the Obedidom fanho. Obedidom, it took 90 days. For him, 48 hours. 2 days, there is a Mount of Transfiguration. Hear me. Somebody within 48 hours, your life can be transfigured. You can hit your epic. You can get into your mountain and your destiny will change. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Talk to somebody. Your service will never be in vain. Your sacrifice will never be in vain. Your prayer will never be in vain. Every sacrifice you have given in this house, in the fullness of time, it shall happen according to the time of the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord. According to the time of the Lord. And those who despise you, those who look down upon you, those who write you off, and some of them think you are wasting your time serving the Lord and sacrificing for God's house. Wait, wait. Let them wait for a few minutes. They shall see you and be surprised at what grace and goodness will do in your life. Put your hands together and give a shout to the Lord. They shall be surprised. He's a faithful God. There's a place called the Mount of the... Until that time, it looks like it's pain and sacrifice. But you get to that mountain. I said you get to that mountain. By the grace of God. Hallelujah. As the way they will beat you, Obedidom. 2 days. I see you getting into a Mount of Transfiguration. Within a short while, everything will change. Yesterday, I was speaking to our branch leaders in the UK. I was doing Zoom with them. And I told them, some of them left Ghana 20 years ago. They know Stryker. He was serving them. He taught them how to drive. He taught them how to do things. So yesterday, whilst I was doing Zoom with them, I said, I have something to tell you. The man is in town, in your country. They burst out. They couldn't believe it. And they said, we have not heard this before. Some of us have been here 10, 15 years. We are still struggling to get papers. He came, and they said that where he's going to stay is one of the best in the UK. Can I talk to somebody here? The best of this life will come to you in due course. I said the best of this life will come to you if you will not stop sacrificing, if you will not stop praying, if you will not stop serving, you will definitely reach the Mount of the Lord. I said you will reach your mountain by the grace of God. And there shall be divine, supernatural provision. Our pastor in the UK said, I've never heard this before. I said, yes, it is happening before our very eyes by the grace of God. Put your hands together for the Lord. It's happening. Sacrifice. Service. Being at it consistently is the key. And Father Abraham, hear me. most generous men in the Bible. He knew how to give. He gave all his life. Hear me. Sometimes when we see somebody being blessed, we think he's lucky. It's not luck. Of course, it could be grace. But God looks at the heart where people can't see. I was talking to a man this week, and he mentioned a big man's name. And I nearly made a comment. And he said, Reverend, hear me. That man, people don't know him. That man is one of the most generous men I've ever seen under the sun. He said, that man can give and give. He will give his last to the poor, to the needy. He will help anybody and everybody as long as he knows it's a genuine need. I said, really? Yes, could it be the reason he's been reigning for a long time in life? Could it be the reason? You see, sometimes when somebody is far away from you and you're doing well, you can just criticize. You can think he's lucky, but you don't know the secret. Abraham was a very generous man. I want to run through. Can I preach? He was a very generous guy. And that is what probably has made one of the greatest under the sun. Hear me. Do you know that he was the first man to have paid tithes in the Bible? The first guy. Tithes was not known. And it wasn't a command then. It wasn't part of the law. Now, people argue that the tithe is part of the law. It's a joke. It started before the law. And it was this man, Abraham, met a high priest called Melchizedek. And he had gone to war and had a booty. And the Bible says he gave a tenth of all he had to the high priest, honoring the anointing, honoring the grace on his life. He gave him a tenth in exchange for a blessing. The man said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God. And Abraham gave a tenth of all he had. He gave a tithe. Today people are still struggling with tithe and saying it's an Old Testament. The man did it by faith. It was later that God made it a law. Way later in Moses' days. He gave it by faith. And later you see his sons, Jacob, saying the same thing. If you bring me back, I'll give you a tenth of all. They made it a family practice. And today I hear people argue about tithes. It's past. Really? If it is past, may I suggest you, under grace, we should give 20-30%. In fact, for me, it's past for 10%. In fact, if you're a 10% tither, you're an Old Testament Christian. I've moved from 10% many years ago. Because under grace, he has done too much. Look at me. Look at me. What is it but for grace? I can give 50%. I don't care. All that I have and all that I ever hope to be, I owe it to him. And you are still struggling with tithe? Look, the moment Abraham finished giving that tithe, the high priest blessed him. After that, God gave him a vision. Genesis 15:1. God revealed himself to him and said, Abraham, I am your shield. Do not be afraid. The Lord came to Abraham in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. I speak unto a tighter here, Ayakabosa. I speak unto a tighter here. The Lord will protect you, preserve you, and bless you exceedingly. May that be your portion. Let those who argue. What we have tested, what we have touched, what we have handled, that's what we talk about. After all, when it comes to tithe, he said, test me and see. If I will not, open the floodgates. Hallelujah. Am I speaking to somebody here? He was the first person. Not only did he give a tithe, he entertained strangers and feeded them. He was hospitable to strangers. Three men came. He saw them. Say, come home. Wash your feet. Come and sit down and eat. Say, wife, hurry up. Husband, a maidservant, hurry up. Kill the fatted goat. I'm in Genesis 18. I don't have time because my time is almost up. Serve them. Serve them. Take good care of them. Bring them the best. Do cakes, my wife. And let's feed them. Bible says in the New Testament, by this, some have entertained angels. And I'm sure he was referring to Abraham. He did not know he was going to entertain God. He did not know he was hosting God. The Bible says in Matthew that once you have done for these little ones, you have done for me. How do you care about the poor? How do you care about the needy? Are you generous to strangers? Listen. You cannot be a giver and remain poor. It's not possible. You cannot. Even when you don't go to church. It's a principle. It's a principle. He hosted strangers and treated them well. My wife has serious testimonies on this. You can miss it. You can miss an angelic visitation because of meanness or fear. Just giving, being liberal and giving. Abraham, the moment he finished feeding them, giving them their meal, one of them said, where is your wife? Bring your wife. According to the time of life, I will return to you and your wife shall have a baby out of due time. Every time you give, there's a response from heaven. When he gave tithe, there was a response. God said, I'll be your shield and your exceeding great reward. When he fitted the angels unknowingly, God said, a year by this time, your wife will have a child. There's always a response when we give. Always. God will respond. So number one, he was a tither. Number two, he took care of the poor and the needy. Look at Psalm 41 quickly and let me wrap up. Psalm 41. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Look at verse 2. And the Lord will preserve him, keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth. He will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. May God not deliver you to the will of your enemies. May their expectation never happen. I prophesy they will see you and be surprised because of your generosity and your kindness. They will see you and be surprised at what God has done in your life. Put your hands together for the Lord. They will see you and be surprised. God will never deliver. They can predict. They can do machinations. It will not happen. God will not deliver you because you consider the needy. And I preach. All of this provoked blessing from God. But what triggered the covenant was the sacrifice. See, there's a difference between giving and sacrifice. You can give tithe. That's okay. Or pay tithe. Tithe is like a debt. You pay. It doesn't belong to you. It's God's and you are giving it back to him. It's not a favor. You can give to the poor. But the sacrifice, Ayakata, the Abed Kaono, that is what triggered the covenant. So God said, you have passed test one. You have passed test two. The last one, give me that thing that you love. Give me that thing that you love. This is the test most people don't pass. I thank God. My test, when you got there, somehow, by some grace, I passed it. People advised me, don't be a fool. Don't release it. Don't give it out. I said, let them have it. Let them have it. I did it unto God. It's okay. This is the test because I loved it. I love it with all my heart. and I gave it away. This is a test. Listen, at a point in time, God will ask you for a costly sacrifice. And we are in this season now, I'm telling somebody here. You will have to go and disinvest every investment you have and come and put it into this and watch God. I say this because we have a covenant with God in this house. We have it. It's so real. And so I don't apologize if I ask anybody to invest into this. It's a setup for supernatural openings in your life. And I pray you pass the test. God said, I swear. Can you imagine God swearing? Now I know, and in blessing, I'll bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply you. Up to today, Abraham is multiplied. Up to today. Don't joke with the principles of God. It's a work of sacrifice. And when God calls on you, it's an opportunity. It's a setup. God is not trying to rob you of what you have. Trying to set you up for monumental generational blessings. Somebody get ready. It's your turn. It's your turn. You may not understand it. And as I'm speaking, God is speaking to some of you. And you've got to release and watch God. He blessed Abraham. Listen, how many of you want the presence in your life? To carry the presence. Remember, the presence is what brings the provision. On the mount of the Lord, it shall be what? Provided. The presence brings the provision. But hear me. When David, I'm closing with Obed-Edom. When David went for the ark the second time, and he was moving to the city of David, watch it. Every six steps, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 13, every six steps, he will pause and give a sacrifice. He will pause and give a sacrifice. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. When they had gone 6 paces, that he will sacrifice oxen and what? Fatted sheep. You want to carry the presence this season? This is the key. Sacrifice. The presence of God is provoked wherever there is a sacrifice. You cannot outgive God, my friends. You cannot. Every 6 steps is a sacrifice, my friend. If you can sacrifice, and listen, sacrifice is not in the amount, it's how much you have. If it's going to cost you that sacrifice. If you give $1 million, it's not costing you, it's not a sacrifice. But if you have $100 million and you give $1 million, well, it's like a tithe. But when it costs you, you set yourself up. That's why David is a great man. I will not give anything to the Lord that it will not cost me. I tell you, this work is not only a work of faith. It's a work of sacrifice. And if you can sacrifice, some of you don't have money to be your time and your energy like Brother Stryker. Sweeping and cleaning like a boy. He used to be a boy in the house of God. People used to make fun at him. He's wasting his time. Just like strikers, within 48 hours, his life changed. Today, he's a general overseer of churches. Hear me. This word that we read is real and true. And if we can test God, he'll show himself strong on our behalf. Go sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. Let's read 2 Chronicles 3:1. I'm closing. Sacrificing on Mount Moriah. Everybody read. Now, Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. On where? Is it not the same place Abraham was asked to sacrifice the son? Hello? Okay, read on. Where the Lord had appeared to his father David at the place that David prepared on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. This is the same Mount Moriah. Everybody listen carefully. This is the same Mount Moriah that Abraham sacrificed or attempted to sacrifice his son. The same place David said, I will not give anything that will not cost me. And he bought that place and sacrificed unto the Lord. Now, after many years, Solomon is asked by God, build the temple where? On what? Mount where? Moriah. What does it tell you? The presence of God will always be provoked to the place where there is a great sacrifice. I speak to every one of you. If you want the presence of God to be your portion this season, make a sacrifice unto the Lord. Because where there's sacrifice, the presence of God will come and perpetually dwell there. May the Lord help all of us, every one of you, not to think about yourself, but to give away yourself as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, holy and acceptable unto God. The Lord bless you and make you a living sacrifice. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Word Explosion with Reverend Simon Ampofo. We believe you've been blessed. Reverend Ampofo is the author of 3 life-changing books. These books are Identifying Great Opportunities, Back to Eden, and Drop That Yam. You can follow Reverend Simon Ampofo on Facebook and Instagram. You can also listen to him on Audio Mac or the Apple Podcast. For inquiries, please call 0552-505083. God bless you as you enjoy grace in abundance.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233-26767-6055. +233-26767-6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.